Welcome to Transform Now, a podcast focused on intelligent automation and brought to you by SS&C Blue Prism. On this program, we talk about how organizations globally are rethinking the way they operate, utilizing process orchestration and AI-enabled digital workers to free up humans to do the work that matters most. We also share insights and tips on how you can embrace this new way of working and unleash your full potential. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Transform Now, the live edition here at BP Live in Dallas, Texas. Today, I have with me Phil Russell, who's VP of Sales for C2. And we'll talk a little more about C2 and what's going on with them and give you kind of overview of some of the things that they're working with our customers on. So, Phil,
yeah,
thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for hosting. Fantastic event so far.
Yeah, it's been very good. So tell us a little bit more about C2.
Yeah, I'd love to. And thank you for that. C2 is a technology, is an automation management and orchestration platform. Our goal is as a platform to sit on top of RPA and IA technologies like Blue Prism and effectively manage the work inside of those platforms to a successful outcome, right? And working across those platforms, moving work between them, ensuring the positive results are delivered to the business as they expect.
Gotcha. Now, before you told me this is sort of like an insurance policy for automations. What does that mean?
Yeah. I like that analogy because it really puts it into perspective of what the customer is expecting, right? I've been in the automation space for 15 years. I've sold the promise of automation, and it's not always delivered the way that we want it to, right? Whether it is because of the internal challenges between technologies, whether it's the business resiliency or the quality of service the customer is expecting, one of the challenges that we're able to solve for really is putting a blanket or an insurance policy on top of that automation effort to ensure that if the business is expecting the work to be done at a certain time, if the business is expecting a certain volume of work to be completed successfully, with our operations and our intelligent capabilities inside the platform, we can validate and ensure the delivery of those results. Effectively, like you said, an insurance policy for automation.
Right. It covers not just the automation, but sort of some of the infrastructure stuff too, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. So there's a couple different areas of the product that our customers get tremendous value from. One of those that you're alluding to, though, is the automated operations. So managing the infrastructure, shutting mm-hmm. things down when they don't need to be running, mm-hmm. turning them on when they need to be. So allowing customers to have more control effectively over how they're deploying their automations. It drives their total cost of ownership down and builds confidence back in the business at the same time. That command and control is really at the core of C2, yeah. And it's how we've architected our mission and our promise to our customers.
That makes a lot of sense. So as we know, customers are at all points on their journey. Sometimes they're at the beginning of their journey, sometimes they're very mature. So if a customer is just starting out, how would C2 fit into sort of an entry-level beginning the process kind of thing?
Yeah, so to your point, kind of across that maturity curve, we find different ways to complement what the customer needs. So at the beginning, you're focused on delivery. That's where your head should be, right? You're thinking about getting those first quick wins, getting some automations out the door for business. You probably don't have an operations function that's a mature, team ready to support through L0, L1 needs. You might not even be thinking about that. You're thinking, well, I was just sold this idea of RPA, of intelligent automation.
Right.
Whatever I deploy is going to work. You're not thinking about the exceptions, about the missed SLAs, and you shouldn't have to. And so at the beginning of that journey, we sit side by side with the Blue Prism technology as it's deployed, with the automations that are being built into the business, and we ensure that they work. So then you can focus on, again, quick wins, getting results out to the business, and building that backlog and that kind of adoption curve from the customer. So they're now bringing more work to you because you're getting things out the door.
Exactly. That makes sense. So customers have started, they're working on the way to get that backlog built out. Most of our customers, it's kind of like a bell curve. We have some that are just starting, and we have quite a few that are we've been doing this for a little while, and at some point either on the early end of the bell curve and some are on the later edge of the bell curve in terms of their adoption. How does C2 factor into some of these folks who are getting a slightly more mature environment?
That's a fantastic pivot. So if we think about now you've got automations out the door, you've got an operations team that's helping them run, right? And depending on how you've deployed this, that means a few things. One, you've probably deployed a global operations team. You have them in different locations to provide follow the sun. You've got 24/5 or 24/7 support for those automations, right? So your costs are going up. The team is becoming just larger, a little more unwieldy. Going back to kind of some of the promises of what we provide here, that automated operations capability, it really allows us to look at the business resiliency, to self-heal processes when they fail, the self-heal infrastructure when it fails, and to make sure that the work being done by those teams is actually just done by a system. So even yesterday, I was having a customer conversation. They were looking at 30% growth year over year from now through 2026. They're saying, as we do this to our automation team, we're going to have to grow our operations team in kind. Yeah. I don't want to do that. He highlighted two different concerns. One was going from 15 to 25 on that operations team. There's a material cost concern sure. there. But also back to the 24/7, right? Looking at how they're working. There's a, you know, from a business quality of service, an impact to their team as well. When business ramps up, their team has more flowing down to them, more obligations. It's actually affecting the quality of life of that team.
Right.
And he's concerned just from a people leader perspective. How do I give them their time back? How do I not have them working on Saturdays, on Sundays, at 2 o'clock in the morning for these things that a tool like C2 can manage on their own? So with him, we've built a business case and looked at 80% savings to their L0, L1 support tasks, where those operations teams can now go and focus on L2, L3,
right.
on process re-engineering. And he has a goal metric of taking their success rate right now of 65% up to over 90% from process fulfillment, just through that integration between the C2 technology and Blue Prism.
Gotcha. Well, that'd be fun stuff, especially as you said, these teams, you don't want to grow them too big if you don't have to, right? Let the technology and let grow smartly, right?
Yep.
That's what we're doing with RPA in terms of the broader business. Operating RPA should be something similar too, where the automation, intelligent automation, you know, it can be complicated sometimes, right? So let those guys who are managing these teams, assign their resources in a way that they can manage these more complicated things in a better way.
Yep.
So coming on that same type of idea, as we get towards the end of that maturity curve, and now we get some really mature customers, they're doing that. They're taking C2 and they're leveraging it to help with some of their L0, L1 kind of support issues. What happens, you know, as they get even further into that thing where they're really mature, they've adopted a bunch of new technology.
Yeah. And this is where we really get into kind of that layer on top of IA. So we're talking with mature customers right now that are being challenged to look at best of breed technologies that they can bring and integrate into an automation COE. Mm-hmm. These are capabilities inside of Power Platform, capabilities across from IDP, NLP, chatbots,
right.
Gen AI. And as we talk about this blanket that sits on top of these technologies and integrates them all together, we can allow those customers to effectively follow their automation through the entire value chain. So they can now watch from work, you know, coming in on the system to the fulfillment of it. They can understand and report on the value that those automations are providing back to the business. So this is a fantastic conversation I had with a customer that was sitting there saying, yeah, the automated operations, the business resiliency, that's great, right? The AI-based SLA orchestration is incredible. But my business case to my CIO and my CFO is being able to tell them what automation has provided back to the enterprise. And so for those mature teams, us being able to provide almost that lifecycle management of automation view is an incredible capability. Being that universal queuing mechanism to orchestrate work between these different systems. So we're coming into Blue Prism, maybe going and triggering a cloud flow on Power Platform, coming back down into Blue Prism for fulfillment with human in the loop or other work actions. Us being able to sit on top of all of that is a really powerful strategy. When we look at how customers are adopting at that, you know, when you're at the other end of that maturity curve, how they're adopting and rolling out these technologies, they're really thinking about how they can future-proof their enterprise. And that means shifting the focus of automation from becoming like legacy technology to being an innovative and a disruptive tool they can use to engineer that enterprise. And that's what we're doing, is we're helping them shift the perception of automation back to the promise of what it can be.
Right, right. And as you do that, as you make that shift in there, how is C2 preparing for even further integration? Because you're not going to stop there, right? You're moving and continually moving. What's kind of next for C2 as you're helping these mature customers and all the customers along the lines here as they're adopting?
Yeah, you know, we're actually taking a lot of feedback from customers about that exact question. So, you know, in a previous life, I worked at another automation company that we have a shared number of customers with Blue Prism right now. Mm-hmm. And they're using these technologies side by side. And you can look at the stories that the customers are bringing to us around how they want to orchestrate and manage their value chain of work. We're taking that feedback. We're taking market movements around, you know, how we can use AI to more intelligently manage the work without even bringing level two in at this point. So again, more time back to the business. I think we see a lot of interest right now in connecting the different pieces together mm-hmm. in a very contiguous and seamless way
mm-hmm.
and finding ways to enable and push that out to the business is one of our big focuses.
Gotcha. So, Gen AI, it's a conversation that everyone's having now. You just kind of mentioned it too, that if you're bringing this in, where do you see Gen AI going within the C2 platform? If you can really reveal that, obviously no secrets. And then what excites you most about this whole Gen AI revolution as we're getting towards the end of this first cycle, into the second cycle now?
Well, there's a couple areas. I think one is, as you're looking at kind of just telling me what the system can see, right? Help me identify the opportunities to improve a process, to move work from one team to another. If we can see patterns that are happening in the system with simple, large language models sitting on top of them, then we can go ahead and provide those recommendations to teams to say, hey, the way things are going right now, it continues to present this problem or this pattern. Why don't you go ahead and re-engineer to change it? Ideally, we can actually go and do it ourselves through the orchestration of some Gen AI tool on top of it. On the other side of it, it's looking at the different types of work that they haven't onboarded yet. So from a lifecycle management, how we think about the book of work that they're bringing on board and how we can evaluate, prioritize, and assign and assess business value to those automations to help really prescribe for them what would provide the most business impact. A lot of these teams are looking at a project front door or a book of work, and they're cherry picking the low hanging fruit, but those low hanging fruit don't always translate to the high yield, creating new alpha or de-risking the business. And so when we look across a larger set of automations and we're able to see where those impacts actually translate into rev gen, into new alpha, into risk reduction, then we're able to pass the insights on to our customers there as well. So a couple of ways inside of the product to apply it. We're also looking at, kind of enabling customers to have access to more Gen AI in their workflows as well. So if you look at on another side of our product, we provide an IA platform that customers can come in and effectively, integrate all of these different technologies into building and deploying their own automations in a consumption-based way. Mm-hmm. And this consumption-based marketplace allows them to bring Gen AI tools into the workflow itself. So not just being built into our product and providing guidance to them, but letting them also select their best of breed, really AI technologies for that different purpose use case.
Gotcha. So what's something that's been surprising to you in terms of from a customer use case perspective that you hadn't considered, or perhaps that you've seen them use and say, wow, that's something I need to retell that story.
Yeah. So I come back to the quality of life for the teams that are supporting these automations, mm-hmm. And this is, it's timely because I had this conversation yesterday, but sitting there thinking about how we want to effectively, one of the values that you see inside of C2 is we talk about ourselves being automationists and believing that through automation, we can actually engineer better lives for people, not just replace the work that they're doing, but give them time to do things that are more fulfilling. We see that every customer that we encounter, whether it was Kim just speaking a few minutes ago about her journey with automation with Cisco, or whether it's this customer that is wanting to prevent the need of someone coming in on a Saturday evening or being on call on a Sunday at 2 a.m. So being able to take the things that were always the promise of automation, that we're going to go ahead and do this work without a person doing it and take the people out of the equation. It's something that we've been able to deliver on time and again. And so what we're doing, kind of going back to that end of the maturity curve that I referenced, is we're able to restore the perception of automation in the business so that they're now excited. They're now bringing new book of work into the automation COE. And they're looking, the COE now is looking at the long tail of their program. And they have a vision of 3, 5, 10 years for how they can continue to transform their enterprise.
I think that's a great point to kind of wrap up on it, that this is a program that spans quite a bit of time. This isn't a one and done type of thing. It's actually a program to really change the way work is happening.
Yeah.
And so bringing C2 in to be able to support that sounds like you've got this overlay to really help guide them from not only the beginning of their journey, but all the way through that life cycle, and help support them along their way in their automation. So I really appreciate you covering all this stuff for us today. Again, C2 is not, you guys have been doing this for a while. Like you said, you've been in the space for quite a while. You have a lot of folks that are these automationists who have a lot of experience in this stuff. And we appreciate that being partners with you to be able to see how we can work together to grow our company.
I honestly couldn't have said it better. I appreciate the time today, and it's been a great event so far.
Thank you for listening to Transform Now, the podcast from SS&C Blue Prism. You can find all of our episodes on your favorite podcast channel, as well as YouTube. To stay on top of the hottest topics in the world of intelligent automation, subscribe now. The future of work is here.